A reading from the first letter of Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Let us pray. Grant, O Holy Spirit, that these human words may be for us the word of God this morning. Amen. I'm pretty sure you all know this, but the Marburg Bridge is under construction. The detour runs up Erie and up Paxton, and we didn't lose any of our parking. Thanks to many of your efforts, writing letters, attending meetings. After many meetings with the department, the engineers, the city, talking about all these changes that they might make at our corner, they decided to leave it as it was. And alas, it really has not been that bad. But one thing that stands out in my mind was when we had one of our early meetings, and Michael Moore, the director of Transportation and Engineering for the city was here at Redeemer meeting with church leadership. And he said, you know, we really don't know how these things will go. He said, traffic is like water. It tends to kind of flow wherever it most easily can. And alas, that's what happened with this. People started finding alternative routes to places. Some things are solid, like buildings and roads, and some things flow, like water. We have today a lot of solid images in our readings. The psalmist says to God, be my strong rock. The writer of the first letter of Peter says, the chief cornerstone was sent from God and laid, referring to Jesus. Stones become the medium by which Stephen, the first martyr, is killed by an angry mob. And even Jesus is talking about a building, his father's house, where there are many dwelling places. Good, solid images. And if you think about it, stones and rocks figure prominently throughout the Bible. We have Jacob lying down with a rock for a pillow, dreaming that dream of the ladder. Waking up, called, spoken to by God, taking that same pillar rock, setting it up, anointing it with oil, a monument to God. Moses on the rock of Horeb. Solomon quarrying great stones to build the temple. And of course, we can't forget about that stone that was laid over the opening of a tomb that rolled away was a sign of resurrection. I don't know about you, but I like good, solid images like this. Like the prophet Isaiah, who says, the Lord God is our everlasting rock. The problem is we live in a world where a lot of stuff is moving. In his latest book, Thank You for Being Late, subtitled A Guide to Thriving in an Age of Acceleration, Thomas Friedman writes just about that, exploring how quickly change is happening in our world. Looking specifically at technology, at the cloud, the impact of the internet on globalization, at climate change, all these things that are happening faster than we practically can keep up with them, or at least I know I can't. He says a lot of things that completely go over my head about algorithms. I might have even pronounced it right. But then he talks about education in particular, and about how our traditional model is that we go to school, maybe we go to college or graduate school, and we get this bank of knowledge, this foundation, this rock that we carry into our lives, perhaps in our careers or in our lives as family, this steadfast rock. That in fact, that has changed completely, and we are all called to be lifelong learners. And what we need to keep up with is what he calls the flow of information, constantly changing everything, constantly changing information, ideas, people, and our contact with them, our connections. To me, this feels kind of exhausting, all this flow, this age of acceleration. I want to stay with that rock, with our God who is a rock and all those things our God stands for. Love, compassion, justice, the true grounded foundations of life in this world. But we have also to contend with the Holy Spirit. I know it's not Pentecost for a few weeks. And the Holy Spirit is all about flow. It's about a God who moves and breathes in the world, who surprises, who is dynamic, not stagnant, who is ever present in going with the flow of the world. And our job becomes to keep up with the Holy Spirit, too. The writer of the letter says that we are called to be living stones. Maybe that's the image we're looking for. How we can be as grounded as rocks and stones, yet be with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the work of discernment is hard, to know which place to be in a moment. But we are called by both. What does it mean to be a living stone? Well, for starters, it doesn't mean what it meant yesterday. And I'm not talking about the church in the 1950s, that kind of yesterday. But even in the early church, and we've heard all these great stories from the Acts of the Apostles throughout the Easter season about the early church sorting out what they were, what they wanted to be in the world in which God had called them, how they took care of one another, how they provided services to the wider population, how they loved. They were sorting out what it meant to be Christ's people, to be born again with a living hope, as we heard a few weeks ago from 1 Peter, what it meant for their world, and what it meant to be living stones being built by God, not building themselves, into a spiritual house. You know, it's interesting. We don't have archaeological evidence that is confirmed that any church buildings were built until about the 3rd century. I know you're thinking, oh, what about the catacombs and things like that? But those were pretty much hiding places. They were not built specifically for the church, the people to gather. What if these living stones without a building, without a concrete place, were what caused the spread of Christianity throughout the world? Throughout the Western world, the Holy Spirit flowed and moved through these living stones. Now, in subsequent centuries, the church went on to build a lot of buildings, those wonderful, solid cathedrals. For some reason, the city of Durham comes to mind for me. Those solid buildings and monasteries and churches, often they were in their communities. The center gathering place, the place where commerce happened, not simply a place where worship took place, but where the poor were fed, where homeless people were housed. The churches were a central place. Those people were being living stones in those concrete stones of buildings, never built to keep people out or to keep Christians in. What does it mean for us to be living stones as the church in the world today? I don't need to tell you that largely, in fact, in mainline denominations, church buildings are closing. Not only here in the Episcopal Church in the Diocese of Southern Ohio, But we only need to drive a few miles to see places where church buildings are either being torn down or being reappropriated into condos or retail space. Now, in many cases, this is due to sad decline. But in some cases throughout the country, this is a sign of churches seeing that their job is not to be a concrete stone, but to be living stones in the world. That in fact, the buildings became an encumbrance for smaller congregations. And they were watching for new ways to move out, to be sent out into the world as apostles, which we're all called to do. New ways of being in church in the world today. In the Episcopal Church, again, I think sometimes we forget how quickly things have changed. People used to come through our door on a Sunday to visit us, maybe get a feel for the place, for the people, for the vibe. 90% of new people these days check our website first. What happened to the track racks? Many of you know I worked for Forward Movement for years, the chief supplier in the Episcopal Church, of those little booklets about all sorts of topics. I think we had 175 of them when I first went to work there in 2007, 2008. The flagship, Forward Day by Day, is still going strong. But like so many things, there are blogs, it's online, the products. People no longer pick up a little booklet in a church narthex. They Google what they're looking for. They can find it. They can find 20 versions of it. The church is changing. We here at Redeemer are blessed. Blessed by beautiful stones in this building of ours. And certainly a part of our call as living stones is to listen to God's guidance on how we both use our building, not to keep us in, but to send us out into the world to be living stones. Our bishop just recently returned from London, where he was exploring with some churches there how they are recovering the sense of the parish. Remember, a parish was never meant to be a building. A parish was a geographical area. And churches that are starting to see themselves that way again, called not to serve just the people who come through the doors, but to serve everyone in the community. What would that look like for us to be living stones? And so it is for us personally also. How in our daily lives, in our own houses, are we not locking away the world, but engaging? Perhaps in the same way that we need to recover the sense of the parish, we need to recover also the sense of the neighborhood. The neighborhood where people knew each other, sat out on their front porches. And again, it's all intertwined because the flow, the internet, social media, is finding great ways of doing that. Apps that keep neighbors in touch at the very same time that it is isolating people in other ways. The invitation for us is not to go with the flow to a point of relativism, but to ask ourselves, what are we called to do to be as living stones in the world today? The church itself is not the rock. God is. In the words of the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. The good news is that Jesus goes ahead of us into the flow. The gospel we just heard, if you're like me, you've heard mostly at funerals. Good news to someone who's lost a loved one, that person has moved on to another dwelling place. But it is also Jesus promising that wherever we go out into that world, Jesus blazes the trail, goes ahead of us into the flow which is the future. And we are called to be living stones. Amen.